This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Fabien Betrivu speaking from the Global Domains Division at ICANN. Thank you for joining our meeting today. I see that we have we still have IoT members joining or dialing out, so I'll go slowly for a few minutes so that it gives them a chance to join. So thank you again for joining our call today on the 23rd of March 2016. The objective of our call today is to discuss the feedback we've received from the Registrar of Stakeholder Group during the ICANN 55 meeting. So this is not a regular IoT meeting we usually have, but really focused on that topic. Before I get to the details of our agenda, I just want to go through the few quick reminders. Since we're recording the meeting, please make sure you state your name. When you speak, also make sure that your line is muted. I think in LA, in the room, we hear your background noise. Just wanted to let you know. Let me also quickly run through who from the IRT we have on the call. So I see we have Amar Alsader, Jody Colker, Joe Waldron, Mark Anderson, Roger Carney, Sarah Boki, and Theo Gertz. Am I missing anyone that I don't see in the Adobe Connect? Okay, I'm not hearing anyone, so I guess we have everybody in the Adobe Connect. So now that we've gone through the roll call, let me go to our agenda. So in order for us to consider that feedback we got from the Registrar of Stakeholder Group and approach next steps from there, the agenda that we'd like to go through is the following. I'll just quickly remind everyone of what was that meeting with the Registrar of Stakeholder Group. We'll go through the outcome of the meeting. We'll look at what's the current status of our discussions on the transition implementation plan, and finally we'll discuss next steps. Are there any comments at this stage, any suggestions for the agenda? Okay, hearing none, not seeing any hand raised in the Adobe Connect. Let me move on to a quick background. So, as you may recall, in addition to our IRT meeting in Marrakesh, we had organized a meeting with the Registrar Stakeholder Group to discuss a potential data analysis that we wanted to conduct in relation to the existing registration track of our implementation of the transition from thin to thick. So as you may remember, the objective of that analysis of data was to identify the type of challenges that registrars would face when transitioning the data from thin to thick, and also quantify those type of challenges. We were thinking that it would be ideal to recruit 10 to 20 volunteers to contribute some analysis on their data, and ideally we'd have identified those types of challenges as listed on this slide here: missing data, incompatible data format, incomplete data, etc. Any questions on that data analysis and the scoping paper we had shared with the Registrar Stakeholder Group prior to our discussion? Okay, so in that paper, we had also included an initial timeline for that potential data analysis that we're considering. We were hoping to recruit volunteers by the 1st of April, and leading to final conclusion of that data analysis by early June, so that we could then focus on finalizing an implementation plan early this summer. Theo, I see you have your hand raised, so let me just try back. The floor is yours.
No, thank you, Fabien, and this is for you for the record. Regarding the volunteers, Fabien, how do you picture this? I mean, you send out the request to get some volunteers, but have we dealt with the scoping issues already? Are they going to be facing those scoping issues? What's your thinking there? Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. So I think, you know, we were expecting that the conversation with the registrar secure group in Marrakesh would lead to, you know, that type of discussion. And I think that's, you know, that could be one of the outcome of this meeting is to kind of discuss where we are from that respect. So I just wanted to, you know, as part of the outcome here, mention that so far we've not heard any expression of interest from registrars on that analysis. And instead we did receive a number of comments on the implementation. So I think that might be what you refer to in terms of scoping. So, you know, maybe discussing those points will get to where you think we should be in that area. Does that address your question, Theo?
Yes, it does in a way, though thinking back of the discussion in Marrakesh, we were able to uncover some points, got some information, but apart from the discussion there, we haven't gained much ground, so to speak, to move actually forward, in my opinion. In addition to that, on the RDAP comments, there was suddenly some strong support for the Google comments to make the migration, basically in a nutshell here, to keep things as simple as possible. I think we haven't covered enough ground yet, but let's move on to see where we end. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Theo, and I think the purpose of this call is really to help us move forward in that area, so we're certainly welcome the discussion. Joe, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, thanks, Fabian, and this is Joe Waldron from VeriSign. So I also wanted to just kind of comment or pose some suggestions on the call for volunteers. I think that in addition to a number, I think we should identify or at least kind of put some parameters around what our expectation is in terms of, you know, geographic representation, size of registrars, business model, but specifically make sure that we have enough coverage so that we're getting a good mix of the jurisdictions that registrars are in as well as size and, you know, types of challenges that the full set of registrars would have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. We had not specifically discussed that prior to sending this scoping paper, and it seems to me that it may be quite challenging to obtain such a representative sample. That's why I think the representativeness of the sample we had kept quite quite simple, but you know, we certainly welcome the discussion into this call.
Well, yeah, so, and what I'm thinking is that it may make sense to you know, to actually recruit some volunteers if we don't see that you know, if we see that there's a gap. I think is perhaps a you know, it's best to take volunteers, and I think that's a good approach. But if we see a gap in, you know, no European registrars, I think that would be something that we would want to address to make sure that, you know, that's included in the sample.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Roger?
Yeah, this is Roger, for the record. I'm not sure where this got lost or if maybe it didn't come up, but GoDaddy is definitely interested in participating.
Thank you, Roger. I think this was obfuscated by the fact that we were counting by default on registrars in the IRT to contribute, and
okay,
especially since yourselves had been leading parties in the in suggestion of that analysis, but thanks for the reminder. And I think here on that slide here, in terms of the outcome of the meeting, what I meant to mention here is in reference to the meeting we had with the Registrar Stakeholder Group, where no one specifically expressed interest in participating in the data analysis, nor did we get feedback after that meeting. So that's just, I wanted to just provide a status there. Theo, I see you have your hand raised, but I also see Joe's hand. Joe, is this a new hand?
Oh, I just didn't put it back down.
Okay, thanks. Theo?
Thanks, Fabian. This is Theo for the record. I think when you're looking at volunteers, I mean, you asked me point blank in Marrakesh if I wanted to join up, and I said no at that given time, because basically we need actually know a little bit more as registrars what it actually entails to become a to run a pilot to do such a thing. I mean, speaking from my side, being a small Dutch registrar, we do not have tons of capacity here just to throw ourselves into a volunteer role and just hope that we do not consume too much development time on this. I mean, development time is extremely precious here. So unless we need, we have some rough outline on what we are going to face, I think there's not going to be many registrars joining unless they know what they go getting into themselves. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. So I'm going back to the slide where we have this timeline and where we were thinking that if need be, we'd clarify the scope and in terms of reference of the data analysis. So I guess the date as fast was last Friday. It seemed that so Theo, I think if you can provide some input as to the type of precisions or parameters you'd want to see in the request for volunteering, I think that would be helpful so that we could further refine the document. And if other participants, and I'm thinking about Jody and Roger, for instance, if you have any thoughts or have already put some thought into what type of analysis you'd conduct, maybe that would be helpful to share as an appendix to the scoping paper to help registrars understand the type of work that would be needed in terms of getting to the results we're seeking. Does that make sense? Is there anybody around the table today that would be willing to share some additional details in terms of what registrars should be looking into and what type of work they should expect to be doing? Roger?
Yeah, hi, this is Roger. I agree with you. I think that, there's obviously some registrars that won't be able to do this just out of constraints, resources. We have done actually some of this already and actually looked at some historical things beyond what the scoping paper is actually looking for. But what we're planning, what we've started to do is taking VeriSign's requirements of what data is required, we've actually started running analysis against our data on that data set. So if email is required, okay, how many emails do we have, and so on, just field by field.
Okay, thank you. So, Roger, what I understand is that you're saying that the requirements we've attached to the scoping paper were enough for you guys to look at your data. So should we be more precise in terms of what would be requested from the registrars in terms of looking at your data against those set of requirements?
That's a good point, and it may help out. I know that Joe and Mark from Verisign have been very helpful on identifying those exact requirements, and we're basically just running it off of that. Much beyond that, except for looking at, new registrations and turnover, basically, and how long the zone actually lives, a new registration lives for. So I don't know if we can – I can take a look at the scoping paper again and see, you know, as we've identified things, if it can be clarified or not. I guess that's about all I can offer.
Thank you. Thank you, Roger. I think that would certainly be helpful. CEO, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, that's correct, Fabian. This is for the record. You know, I think if you are looking for volunteer registrars, you actually need to come up with some kind of game plan here that describes, like, as a volunteer registrar, we expect this, A, B, and C, and this from you, and then actually compliance folks like me or other people in the organization of a registrar can go to the development team and go like, okay, this is what ICANN is asking us for a volunteer role here. We need to do this and this and this. How much time is this going to cost us? And from that perspective, then we can a registrar can decide, okay, for the sake of the community, we are going to do this. We are going to be a volunteer registrar. But if there's tons of loose ends here, I don't think that many registrars are just going to jump into some black hole here if they have no idea where it starts, where it ends, and how much time is there's going to be involved. So I think that sort of covers my main issues here with the volunteer role of the registrars. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. Roger?
Yeah, this is Roger. Theo, would it help to maybe come up with, a report or analysis output that, I don't want to direct registrars or registries, anybody to say, hey, run these queries or run this analysis. Maybe the output, come up with a common output for everyone. And how they get to it is, you know, basically their operational choices. But would that help?
Yeah, thanks. And this is Field for Record. And I think that will actually help there to at least have a couple of definitions, if you will, so we get some more guidance there on what we can expect. I'm just talking in general. I'm not just talking for real-time register specific here, but that is just my general sense that we need some more information before registrars are going to sign up and dedicate time on it. So, thanks.
Thank you, Theo and Roger. Can I also suggest, and this relates to a discussion we had together, Theo, I believe, in terms of how we can attract interest of registrars on this topic, could we potentially come up with first assumptions of how we would approach the implementation of the existing registration tracks so that it would provide a first vision for registrars as to what would be expected in terms of the transition, and this could be a motivator for them to look at their data. Would that make sense for members of the IRT to try to come up with a first set of assumptions as to how we could proceed to the transition of existing registrations and add that to the as some kind of high-level approach to the transition to the scoping paper? Theo, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, this is Theo for the record. I think that's a good idea, Fabian, and maybe we can even expand on it. This isn't exactly new what we are doing here. I mean, there was a migration back in the day when it came to .org. Do we have any materials from that period there, how it went down, what kind of approach is being used there. I mean, I expect there were several communications from ICANN with instructions or from the registry back then. Registrar, we going to put you on agenda for time X, date X, and we expect you to do this and this and this. Do you have any information from that time? I mean, that could help us there to visualize it a little bit better, what we are expected to do as a volunteer there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Theo. So let me go to Jody, who may want to contribute on that topic.
Hi, can you guys hear me? This is Jody for the record.
Yes, we can hear you well.
So what I remember about .org, and I think I've stated this in a couple of different meetings, basically .org, when it was transitioned, I believe it was only at a couple of million domain names. And GoDaddy's piece of that was about 600,000, and these are really rough numbers. I remember actually creating these contacts and going through this, and it seemed several years for this to be done. And what we had was we didn't have a full, implementation by all registrars. We were still getting compliance issue warnings from .org. For domain names that had transferred into GoDaddy, you know, that were at least a couple of years past the time when we were supposed to be transitioned, warning us of bad contact data or the fact that contacts hadn't been set up on the domain. So I guess what I want to warn everybody about is that this is going to take a long time to get done. We're talking about, you know, that was only a couple million domains. We're talking about, is .com at 120 million yet? You know, this is 60 times bigger than that. And it's going to take, this is going to be a very long process to get this done. And I think we need to do it very carefully to make sure registrants are not losing their domains. So the implementation of this, I think that we can talk a little bit more. I think the next slide has, you know, proposals on the implementation process. I don't know if you want to get into that right now. But, you know, one of the things that I think that we would like to favor is to do this on registration, because it allows us to basically tip our toe in the water here on new registrations. Providing that on new renewals, I think, would be very dangerous to registrants, because registrants usually have their domain names on an auto-renewal on most registries, and they don't even think about updating contacts when the domains are being renewed. And if we do that on the renewals, we run the risk of the registrant losing the domain name because the contacts cannot be created because the registrant didn't come in and update their contacts to be in the correct form to be allowed to register the domain or to renew the domain.
Yeah, thank you, Jody. So I think we can certainly go through the feedback we got on that from that respect. But maybe before we get there, I saw that Joe, did you have your hand raised, Joe? Or maybe I'm hallucinating. Otherwise,
I was just given the numbers. I just thought I'd put them in chat instead.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Theo?
Yeah, this is Theo for the record. I just want to piggy on what Jody just said there about the transition moments there. I mean, I had some discussion with some people, I think on a Wednesday evening, about migrating the data. And my sense from this little crowd, there were like seven registrars there, and even these seven registrars had different point of views on how they wanted to migrate. There were people who wanted to migrate in one batch. There were people who wanted to do it on the renewal date. And a few other suggestions came up. So that there's a whole mix there on how registrars actually want to do this. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Theo. And I think that's what you're saying is actually a summary of the slide that we have up here, where I tried to summarize the type of feedback we got in the meeting. So, for instance, if I pass over the first one, which was the discussion of, you know, the use of data escrow, which was ruled out a long time ago, I believe, there was a suggestion that there should not be this differentiation between new and existing registration, but instead that we proceed on a per registrar basis, as was done for .org. I think that was the comment. Would anybody like to talk about this point specifically and provide some rationale for not going this alternative way? Jody, I see you have your hand up. Is this a new hand?
It's not, but I'd be happy to comment.
Sure, if you would like, please.
I guess on the point of splitting it by registrar, I think that calls into issues with transferring domain names between registrars that have implemented contacts, and registrars that have it. I think you could run into problems on that, and I guess you will run into issues on that on new registrations also, but it would at least give you 60 days for all registrars to at least start implementing some of this. I guess I just want to bring that up, is that, you know, you could have a problem with transfers between registrars that haven't implemented the SIC yet and ones that have.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Joey. Anybody else like to comment on this specific point? Theo?
Yeah, this is Theo for the record. When we are looking at the points, and we had a discussion there in Marrakesh, just looking at them, there's some really good points there. Fulcrum made a good point there. Rob Golding made an excellent point there. And I think we need to dive deeper into those comments there. And like the comment from Ben Anderson, like we need the staging area there. These are all true, and we need to take them all in account, and we need to dig deeper into them, in my opinion. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Theo. And I think if you all agree, I think today is a first opportunity for starting to do that. And for instance, it seems to me that if we look at the second bullet, which we just discussed, the split between new and existing registration as opposed to proceeding on a per registrar basis, it seems that there's no specific support for the per registrar approach in the IRT. And so I think it's helpful to understand why, so that, you know, if this comes up again or potentially in later public comments, we can explain how this was addressed in the definition of the implementation plan. Roger?
Yeah, this is Roger. Looking at the contracts and everything, that seems to go against the spirit of, registries treating registrars equally. Whoever goes first here is going to probably be at a disadvantage because they're going to get, a lot of bad transfers that they're going to have to clean up. If you do it on a registrar by registrar, basis, it just seems like, you're putting the early adopters, at the cost of everybody else.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that feedback. Should we move on to the next suggestion that we received? Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. I agree with everything that's been said on this topic, but I'll just, throw one more thing out there, and that's that, one of the rationales that, for us proposing the split of the transition of new registrations versus backfill of existing registrations is that the two present different legal challenges as well. So I just wanted to remind everybody that was one of our rationale for proposing the split in the first place. Thank you.
Mark, would you mind refreshing my memory of, this the examples of the specific difference, because I certainly remember, you know, your discussion of the need for separating those two, but from a legal perspective, can you so was it because new registrations come in a different context, legally speaking, than the original data that was gathered for existing registration? Is this what it was?
Yeah, that's it exactly, you know, Fabian. I'm not a lawyer, of course. I have to caveat that, but you know, consent is, you know, seems to be a key when we're talking about privacy data, and certainly with new registrations, you know, registrars can be sure to have obtained proper consent. With the existing registrations, it's sometimes not clear what consent was obtained, and sort of what the legal ramifications are around transitioning that privacy data from one entity to another, in many cases crossing multiple jurisdictions. Not necessarily apples to apples there between new registrations and existing registrations. So in sort of recognition of that, you know, that I think the IRT, you know, proposed and was supportive of splitting out the two efforts.
Okay, thanks Mark for your confirmation. So should we and thanks for adding that element to the discussion of that specific point. Unless there is any other comment or input on this one, should we move to the third bullet and a proposal from Volker Greiman that no registry site data format checks should be imposed? So I understand this to mean that the rules for transitioning the data would be transition the data in the way it is instead of enforcing some checks on that data. Theo?
Yeah, thank you, Fabian. That is basically what I understood from Volker when he made that comment, and it is not a general consensus among the registrars there, but talking to most of the people there, some of them were really would really love the most simple approach as possible here, just to avoid any long delays with checks on data format or cross-field checks. Like I said earlier on, I've got this general sense that people like to keep it as simple as possible, and I think that is a way forward there. Thank you.
Thanks, Theo. Jody, I see you're in next in the line.
Yeah, this is Jody for the record. So my question would be the format checks that we're talking about. I think Theo referred to like city and state, that kind of thing, or are we talking about like there has to be a zip code, that kind of thing? I'm curious what the format check is, more than anything.
Theo, would you be able to give some more color to it?
Yeah, and just a little bit of more color. And this is, yeah, I'm going to speak as in my own capacity here. I don't want to speak for the registrar group here, but and I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but I think we just should migrate the data with what we have. And that is it. And if the data is missing or at some point, then it will be up to the registrars to fix it. But there should be no registry requirement like this data field needs to have data in it, or we won't gonna migrate. If the data isn't there, okay, then we just keep on moving, migrating with the data, and that is how we should approach this, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thanks, Theo. Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. The validations that we've, you know, previously provided and were included as part of the scoping paper, represent a fairly bare bones set of validations. And essentially, you know, just the minimum validations that are required by EPP. I took that approach because, it was my feeling or, you know, my opinion that registrars would prefer minimum validation. I think, you know, the less validation or the less restrictive we are on that, the easier it is to facilitate the transfer of that data or the migration from thin to thick for registrars. So that's sort of the approach and the intent of the data validation rules that we've applied so far. We've had some discussions about this already, and it continues to be a topic. And I'll just say I think it's a good conversation to have, and we're certainly open to adjusting any of those if that's the feedback or advice from registrars and the rest of the IRT. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Roger?
Yeah, this is Roger. Maybe we can get Theo to channel Volker a little more. Just questioning, it sounds like, from what Volker was talking about is whatever the registrar has, send it up. But the one comment that Theo made about correcting it, I'm not sure how that comes into play. I think that that's a possibility of, whatever the registrar has, maybe to have the street name and no city or zip, whatever it is, push that up and, wash your hands of it and be done until something happens.
Theo?
Thank you. Well, Roger, I'm just looking at it from this perspective. I mean, we got some loads of old data there in the Whois, and maybe it has missing data, maybe it has not, but it is currently not creating an issue. That there is no issue right now. So if there is missing data and we just keep on migrating with it and we skip a few fields as a registrar because the data is not present, nothing will happen. I mean, the world will not end and we just continue with whatever we are doing. And if there is an issue for whatever reason, then it will go through the regular procedures. It could be a Whois complaint, and then the registrar has to act on it and will have to deal with it on the normal basis, which is specified in his RA 2013 contract, and make sure that the data gets updated and that it is correct. So, like I said, if there is some data missing, I think we shouldn't be weighing too much on it, in my opinion. Thanks.
Thanks for the clarification, Theo.
Oops, sorry. sorry, it was muted. I apologize. So what I was saying in those 2 minutes was that I was wondering whether IRT members could share their sense of whether this topic is still an open issue that we need to dig deeper into, in terms of whether we can keep the requirements as they have been proposed by the registries, or we need to discuss them further and potentially make adjustments to them. Can somebody share a sense of whether this is a topic for further discussion, or should we just move forward with the requirements the way they are right now? Josie, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Jody for the record. The requirements, are you specifically talking to the no registry side data format checks?
Yeah, the what we've attached to the scoping paper. Sorry for the imprecision.
No, that's all right. Are the requirements now what are the requirements currently what basically what VeriSign has implemented, or maybe not implemented yet, but suggested, like, you know, you have to have a country code, that kind of thing? Are we talking about removing those format checks?
Well, I think we should certainly have absolute clarity on this, and I didn't mean to portray those contact data checks as requirements, because obviously there are contract provisions that constitute requirements on registrars. So we probably need to consider those as well. But I think what I'm trying to find out is whether on this topic of what is exactly that is going to be enforced in the context of the transition, do we still need to clarify this, or can we move forward with what we have currently, which is the document that was proposed by VeriSign and Employee Media for that job? Jody, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think you might need a little more conversation about it, as I remember. It was pretty lively conversation about not requiring a street address, and I believe a zip code. I thought that there was someone who was very vocal about their opinion of having to require these fields like address one. Am I not remembering that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. In the last IRD meeting, I believe it was, there was indeed that discussion. So that's certainly a fact. We probably need to bring that discussion to a close.
I mean, from GoDaddy's perspective, and this is kind of an off-the-cuff opinion, is that if there was no format checks on the data to be pushed into the registry, then that would definitely make the transition much easier for registrars, as there would not be as many bad contacts or that would need to be fixed by the registrant, because there are going to be a large number of those. We see transfers that come in all the time that have just very poor data on it, where the only thing that we were able to actually get out of the WHOIS was an email address. So it doesn't include, you know, address one, a city, a state, a zip, or a country. And you know, as you do this analysis by all the registrars, I think it's going to be eye-opening as the number of domains that have poor contact data. So removing that restriction, I think, is of the format of requiring that will make it much easier for registrars, I believe. I don't know if there's any other registrars on. I could speak to that, but I'd love to hear their opinion also.
Thank you very much, Joey. Roger, did you want to contribute to this discussion?
Yeah, this is Roger. I just wanted to add, I think that, you know, you brought it up earlier, should we provide possible forward solutions or forward implementation options? I think this is just one of those that we can say, well, this is a possible way to go forward, and maybe we, you know, just obviously we can discuss this a little more as to, you know, if VeriSign just removes all checks or whatever, if we decide to do this one. I think this is just one of those future options to take the current registrations forward.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Roger. That's certainly helpful and we can certainly approach it in that way. Theo, I see you're in the queue.
Yeah, thank you, Fabian. And I'm actually in total agreement with Jody here. I mean, and this is basically on the last call, there was some confusion, and I'll admit I was confused to it myself. as because we as registrars, the IRA 2014 stipulates pretty much what we need to have when it comes to the data. However, and this is what sort of created the confusion back then, because the requirements from the registry side were less, and that was sort of confusing, but actually it's making a lot of sense, because if we loosen the restrictions there on the registry side on what data needs to be imported, we're going to make our lives a lot easier. And when we look at the recommendations, and in my opinion, if we look at the recommendation that the working group made, that the format should be, well, equals, perhaps not what, but should be in line of the RA 2014, I think the recommendation is pretty clear there. It talks about a format, but it doesn't specify anything when it comes to the data. So if there's no data present, okay, we'll just skip that field and keep on migrating with the data. So I think there's nothing in the recommendation that is restricting us to make sure that we are moving forward with the implementation, even if there's data missing. There's, in my opinion, there's no issue there. Thank you.
Thank you, Theo. Joe?
Yeah, thanks, Fabian. So I think that I really appreciate the discussion, and I think that we're open to to alternative solutions. But I'm just having a hard time understanding what no validation means, because does that mean that we would essentially take a thick Whois update that would have no data in any of the fields? And you know, I don't know how that would work. So I think it might be helpful. You know, and again, just to kind of reinforce Mark's point earlier, you know, we've tried to take a fairly light touch in terms of, you know, required fields are required based on what the EPP spec is, and we're not going to validate a postal code to ensure that that postal code exists and it matches the country code and so on. You know, there are certain things that we want to take a fairly light touch, because you know, our position all along has been, this is data that the registrars are authoritative for, and we're going to display the data that we receive from the registrars. But it might be helpful then if we got a proposal back to that document that explains what the validation is, because I think that, you know, we would want to look at what no validation means. I think just because I'm not sure how we would be complying with the move to FIC. But I think that if we were looking at specific fields and taking something that was that's maybe required and make it optional, or a text field or a number field, and changing the validation of the specific field, I think that's getting a specific proposal back or suggestions of things that we would want to discuss in terms of how we would modify what's in the document now. I think that would be most helpful.
Thank you, Joe. It sounds like this could be a good way to move forward on that discussion inside the IRT. Roger, would you like to speak to that topic, and then we'll try to draw a line under this one and move to the other ones?
Thanks. Yeah, this is Roger. And I agree. I think it's a great thing to discuss, and I think we'll need some more time to do it. I'd just say, an initial data dump from registrars to registries, I would guess that it would be preferred that there were no checks at all. And then I think that we would need to discuss, okay, when should it be updated, and through what processes would the updates to that current data come from?
So Roger, if I understand correctly, you're suggesting that a potential way to proceed with the implementation of the transition of the existing registration would be to allow, as you said, an initial dump without any checks, and then updates to data that would have issues. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. And again, I think that this group should discuss how or when those updates would be required, and how long, or maybe forever, that initial dump would survive that data itself. So.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. I think we should add this to the discussion of that specific point moving forward, and try to clarify whether that's something the IoT would would like to consider further as for the implementation of the existing registration track. Okay, thank you very much for the discussion. So let's try to take a look at the other points of feedback we got in the last 10 minutes we have. So if I move down to the fourth bullet, implementation should favor a cutoff date rather than a multi-stage process in order to minimize systems impact. That's from Volker. Judy?
Hi, this is Jody Kalker. I guess I would like a little more explanation of that. It's basically a cutoff date when all registrars need to have all domains, have all four contacts on the domain. I'm guessing that's what it means, but I just want to verify.
CEO, would you be able to provide more color to this one based on potential subsequent discussion you had with Volker? My understanding was that he was pointing to the fact that he would rather have one specific deadline with the necessary developments to do rather than several ones where he would have to do sequential developments. I think it wasn't specific, but I got a sense that that's what he meant in principle. I don't know if that helps you understand his point better.
That was sort of my interpretation also, Fabien. I thought he didn't want to run multiple Huawei servers for a very long time. At least that was my sense of it. Thank you.
Judy, please go ahead.
So he's talking about running multiple Huawei servers. Does he mean that once all the thick data is at the registry, the registrars won't need to perform or support a Huawei server?
Jody, I think there's something in our contract. I'm not Volker, of course. Let me point it out.
Yeah.
I think there is something in our contract that if every registry is a FICUIS, that we can stop with our own WHOIS server on the register side. I think that was it.
So,
I think, Mark, at the answer there, if you look at the chat, I think we've got...
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Mark, for providing the actual text of the transcript. That's helpful because obviously it's the summary may not be... accurate enough. I got a sense that from his comment and the fact that for him, a multi-stage transfer would mean that he would have to have two or three parallel systems running at the same time, that made me think that might also be specific to how his implementation of the WHOIS or registration system is set up. So I wonder how much of this feedback is... whether it's universal or specific, and I think that's a point that I'm wondering about. Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. I read through the transcript, and so when I saw that bullet point, you know, I pulled out the text there, and I thought Volker's comments were interesting. I'm not sure I understand or necessarily agree with his point, but. But I do feel for him where, you know, his concern seems to be that he has to, he has to maintain multiple systems or parallel systems at certain points in time. And, I'm not necessarily, I don't necessarily agree that he has to do that, but I'm sympathetic to his concerns, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, I think from an IRT perspective, we should be conscious of that, and we should make sure our proposal, our final proposal, minimizes impacts, and we should look to make sure, we're not creating a proposal that, that would require registries or registrars to maintain, multiple parallel systems at any one time. So, I'm not sure I agree with his point, or I understand what his concern is, but. But on a a high-level basis, I'm certainly sympathetic to that concern, and I want to make sure we're avoiding that. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Mark. And I think that's certainly a concern that we need to address in the implementation plan in terms of, you know, what's the impact of the proposed implementation. So maybe in that area we could reach out to Volcker and get some more detailed explanation about the point so that we can address it properly. Judy, I see you have your hand raised. Is this a new hand?
Actually, it is. My question has to do with the cutoff date itself. What would happen if a registrar doesn't hit the cutoff date? I mean, what are the repercussions of that?
Well, I believe if we do document a cutoff date as a deadline for some action on the part of registrars in the consensus policy, I assume it would become a compliance matter should that deadline not be met, but that's an assumption at this point. Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. It's Mark again. I think that's a great question, and I want to break that out, right? For new registrations. Right, I think it's pretty clear. If we have a cutoff date, at some point we determine, okay, at this point, thick data is required for new registrations, right? At that point it's pretty clear, registrars that, don't meet this requirement would be unable to create new registrations, right? So I think that's a more clear or at least more straightforward answer. But for existing registrations, or the legacy data, if you will, I think that's probably that's a topic I don't think we've really delved into, and I think it's at some point that's a topic we'll have to consider, and discuss, how that should be handled, and what the best path forward for that is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I see that we only have 3 minutes left, so because I want to be respectful of everybody's time in the meeting here. So I see we have three other points to discuss, and including this was discussed a bit, whether we should rely on registration or transfer, registration renewal or transfer for the transition of data. And speaking to the timeline, which could take 10 years, that was a contribution from James Blayle. I just want to, if you don't mind, take you to our next slide, just to kind of give you a summary of where we are in terms of discussing timelines. And I don't mean to not have a discussion on the other points, and I suggest we move that to the next meeting that we'll organize. Just here as a reminder, in terms of implementation timeline so far. On the new registration track, we've discussed in our Marrakesh meeting, if I understood correctly, I've redone my math after the meeting. It seems that we were talking about a potential time frame of 18 to 21 months for completion of implementation of the new registration track, so transition of new registrations. While for the existing registration, we have not had a specific discussion of timeline yet, and I guess we're getting to it through the discussion of that feedback we got with the registrar's core group, and we will make sure that we keep this discussion going to get to a place where we may have a first approach of a timeline to share as part of the data analysis if that's our decision to keep moving in that direction. So let me here get to next steps. On the existing registration, so let me go to new registration first. We had defined some next steps in our ICANN IRT meetings at ICANN 55, so I won't come back on those. They just deal with, refining the current assumption we have and agree on an actual proposed timeline. With existing registration, so I think we need to make a decision here of what we do in terms of the data analysis. If the IRT believes that this should be conducted, we need to make the adjustment that were discussed today and issue a more formal call for volunteers and then hope that the registrars do respond as we'd like. Can I get a sense of what IoT members think we need to do in that area? So I think the two alternatives. Mark, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fabian. I understood from Roger that GoDaddy had already started some analysis, based on the assumption that the validation rules that we provided earlier would be what's in place. But if we're going to make changes to those validation rules, that would certainly change that analysis they're doing. So. I think we need to come to some consensus on what validations will exist in order for registrars to do a proper analysis. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. That makes sense. And it seems to me that along that discussion, we probably should also consider defining some parameters of what could be an approach to transition as an introduction for the registrars to project themselves into what would be the implementation and then, hopefully motivating them to participate in the data analysis. So do we have a sense of consensus around this proposed approach by Mark that we keep discussing the type of checks that that should be in place and some parameters of what would be the highlights of the implementation plan before we reach out again to the registrars? Is there any objection to doing that? I'm not seeing any hand raised, nor hearing anybody objecting. So let me suggest that we move this way. I will follow up on the mailing list and suggest that we have a discussion on the mailing list until we can schedule our next a regular IRT meeting where we would take up that discussion, and we'll try to schedule that meeting as soon as possible so that we can move as fast as possible in that respect. Are there any final comments, questions? Not hearing anybody. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for participating with such a short notice. We really appreciate your time, and we will be in touch via the mailing list very soon, and our next IRT call will be scheduled in the coming week or two. Thank you very much for your time, and have a nice day.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.